Wolf Brothers.
Wolf Brother.
What do we call our audience? What are they?
Just the pack. Wolf pack.
There you go. Hello, Wolf Pack. How's it going, everybody?
What's good, everybody who's not here right now?
Yeah.
We have one viewer so far. I'm guessing that might be. Well, I guess I don't want to say who it might be because he's in an undisclosed location. So maybe
exactly. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about Bruno.
We don't know who it is. We got a watcher. Hopefully, we'll get some more. We're gonna just jump right in here. We'll mill around a little bit, but I want to get our thank the light, everyone. I am your mother's sister's cuckold's cousin.
Okay, what does that make me? What does that make me? I will be your light-skinned Sedai, and I'll tell you why later.
Okay. Are you my pale bosom? My pale bosom buddy. That's who you are.
And a well-turned cat and a well-turned calf.
Two disclaimers up at the top. I'm going to give my weekly... I promise you guys, I'm reading the books. I'm reading the books. I'm actually enjoying the books, but it's a fucking lot. It's a fucking lot. So I'm catching up. We took a long hiatus and I just took a hiatus from all things Wheel of Time just because, you know, if I'm reading it or watching it, I want to talk about it. And so like these three chapters are my first dive back into the Wheel of Time in a long time. And it's going to take me a couple chapters to start putting things together and remembering things, or remembering where we came from, remembering where we're going. So I'm probably going to ask some questions today that we're going to make the readers go, I don't think he's ever cracked a Wheel of Time book. I have.
This motherfucker's a liar. His reading comprehension is poor, people. It's not good.
I have listened to these. That's why we're going to keep it at about an hour. We did three chapters because they're 20-minute chapters. So we were able to do three chapters this time. And I listened to them twice in the last 2 days. I didn't stop everything. I didn't turn the lights out and meditate on it. I had them on, and it was great. And then, so that's that. And then my other disclaimer is the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of an entities they represent.
What he said.
So any political rants are that of the politicizer and not that of we mixed it and sounds awesome, respectfully.
I was like, oh, shut up.
Oh, welcome back, Justin. It's been a week. It's been 2 weeks. I can't believe we're on a weekly recording because so much has happened in the last 7 days. I can't believe we did this that recently.
It went pretty fast. So you had a busy week?
I went to five sports games this weekend.
Five?
We had a football game Saturday morning. We had two soccer games Saturday. We had one soccer game Sunday morning that qualified us for the fourth soccer game Sunday night, where my son came up a little bit short. They lost the gold medal match. But there's a lot of people that didn't get to play Sunday night. And we weren't.
Playing football and soccer?
Yeah.
All right. Go Cormac. Yeah.
Football's super mellow. One practice a week, one game a week, same time every week. Soccer's nuts. Like we have another.
How old is he?
Nine.
If he keeps playing football another year or so, those practices are going to get a lot more.
Well, it's just flag football. They have
That's cool.
They have a hardcore flag football league here.
That's better, man, because, you know, Connor, you know, he was tough and he would just hammer people, and I'm sure he's got a few concussions, but I'm sure he's given a lot of concussions. And like, Jesus.
Yeah, this is like they do. I've been looking around for YouTube videos to try and like show Cormac some stuff. I can't find anybody else who plays this version of flag football. Like they play with four down linemen and push each other around a lot along with your receivers and stuff. Like there's a lot of contact for flag football.
That's crazy. That's funny. Weird. Whatever. That's kind of awesome. It was an Olympic sport, wasn't it? No, that was.
It will be this year. This year. Or in 4 years will be the first time that flag football appears in the Olympics.
So I guess we should get into this if we want to cover it. I do have just a quick clip that's kind of funny, nothing too poignant from chapter 13. But the last time you were here, Des, the last time we covered book stuff, even we have it titled as chapter 11, it was actually chapter 15, where Matt and Moraine and Rand all go through the doorway at the same time. So we're going back a little bit to just a few chapters before that, 12, 13, 14, a little bit of setup. Some of it we've kind of discussed a little bit, but I think it's funny. And so we can just talk about it.
And we so like when we jumped ahead to 15, I thought we were rushing to get through Shadow Rising before season three right. started. Now that I realize season three, we don't know when it's going to air. And we don't know if we're going to get a season four. This is slowly becoming a book podcast. And so we have, what, 10, 11 years to get through this series now? So
no problem.
We're going to slow down and just work our way through it. Hopefully we'll start getting an audience and get your questions in here to tell us why we're right, why we're wrong, what you love about the books. You can quiz me to see if I may or may not actually be reading.
Buckle up, enjoy the ride.
So Justin has a clip. It's what chapter? So we're not gonna do a clip from each chapter. You're just doing a quick.
I'll just throw it in kind of in the middle, just for funsies, okay. When we get to talking what I'm talking about. So in chapter 12, Des, and like you said, you listen to these, so I'm just gonna kind of glean over them, you know, a little bit. We're just kind of covering Elaine and Nynaeve. They're kind of deciding what their next move is. Egwene has they've all been kind of experimenting in Tel Riad, right? And yes. Egwene has ran into one of the Aiel Wise Ones and been told that she needs to, you know, bring her ass to the waste and learn. And, you know, there's a little bit of Avienda and Elaine talking about marriage customs and discussing basically sharing Rand. I don't think they even realize that that's what they're saying yet, but kind of. Because at this point, Avi is still like, a 10-year-old girl, like, boys are gross. Rand's gross. I don't even like that guy, Rand. He's disgusting. Chicks are so weird. Dudes are so weird. And so there's just a little bit of that going on. At the very end, Moraine comes in with a message. It's like, hey, by the way, Avienda, they know you're here too, and you need to take your ass to Redan as well. And the reason for that is because they've been waiting for her. She is Fardar Esai, which is, you know, a maiden of the spear, which they don't get married, they don't have kids. They've figured out she can channel, and she's a very powerful channeler. And when you're a very powerful channeler in the Aiel Waste, you don't really have a choice. You're going to be a wise one, pretty much. Does they have to trade? It's like, if the White Tower find a girl who could channel, the Jedi's find a force sensitive, you know, they're going to kidnap that child and take it to what they're supposed to do. The Aiel are a little bit different because they don't really go around testing. They wait for it to manifest. So if she's 12, 14, 18, and it sounds like, I think Avienda is probably around 18 or so, and she's been skirting them for at least a little bit. So maybe she's more like 21 and she's been skirting them for a few years, just trying to not be taken to reunion. She doesn't want to give up the spear, but you know, obviously that's their goal. And she's going to be a very important Aiel leader in the future. So especially connected to Rand. So.
And we spend some of this chapter, the girls are getting to know each other's customs, you know, in
talking about the marriage customs.
The Aiel take their men by force and share them willingly. And
the men don't have a choice, really.
Yeah.
Right. So that's pretty good, too.
When the spear comes up, you go down. That's the Aiel way.
Women also do the asking in Aiel marriages, apparently. So,
and again, since the breaking, no one knows anything that goes on, you know, 20 miles from their homeland. So they think it's crazy that the Two Rivers folks, you know, that it's custom for men to ask. And
yeah, they're just like, what?
That's so weird.
Shannon, I wish Perrin was here. He knows about chicks.
Perrin? Perrin's, I guess he's got a dead wife? Maybe?
Well, and that's actually one of the things we're going to get into one of the next chapters, one of the last chapters talking about Fael, his gal that's been hanging around with him. You know, I feel like, I said Chip. Hi, Chip.
Hey, Chip.
Who's a good boy?
Mama's been gone. Mom went to Colorado for 5 days. So Chip is beside himself. He's a wreck.
Where's Mama? Chip, fuck.
There you go.
Why would she leave me like this?
Oh, no. So that, oh, so yeah, and Moraine is there. Like this, this has always been a problem for me in the books. I'm like, wait, she's in the room too? Like there's.
She kind of comes storming in, I think, like halfway through and is like, oh yeah. But she's like, she's pissed off at Rand, I think, maybe?
Yeah, she says, Elaine, I got the
Phantom. Oh, she's trying to get Rand to do something because he's staying in the stone too long or whatever. And she's like, he's got to go. He's got to do something. He's got to do something. And she's just kind of like bitching about Rand. And then she starts to get on the ladies about it, you know?
Oh, okay. So the wise ones are all dreamwalkers. Okay, I think I missed that somewhere.
Not all of them, but damn near all of them, I think.
Above Rudan, without yeah. So Avienda has to go to Chandahar, not Rudan.
Chandar is Bellevue to Seattle for Rudan. You know
what I mean? Yeah, totally. Des Moines, it's the hill. Des Moines.
It's the hill where they look down upon Seattle.
So yeah, this chapter is pretty quick because the chapter right before it, they're like dreamwalking and all kinds of crazy shit's going on. And so this
is a quick after. Yeah. Amis comes across Egwene in the World of Dreams. And then, you know, I feel like we'll get some version of that in the show because they're going to have a reason for her to go study with the wise ones to just move the story ahead. You know, at this point, I want to be like, oh, they've got to do this. And it's just like, I've had to eat my words way too many fucking times on that. So I'm just, hey, we could see a version of this. What will that version be? Who knows? Yeah.
Especially if they do get it, you know, if season three does amazingly well, if season three just squeaks by to get a season four, they're going to move real fast.
Well, and like I said, you know, I keep hearing all these things about Amazon, you know, they're breaking these records and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, I don't hear anybody else really talking about it. John does his best on What Up to keep things, you know, popping. But and there is buzz behind the show, but it's like it's a pretty hardcore section of nerds.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people that are just watching it because they'll watch anything Wheel of Time. And then there's plenty of hate watchers out there, of course. And then
not Jeremy though.
Okay. And then just the show itself needs to, you know, I enjoyed the show and I even thought season two was a little they were taking their time. They played season two like they were definitely gonna get 12 seasons out of this. And it's like even if best case scenario, like you gotta work towards a 6-8 season arc tops. And you've gotta, you know, every other episode has to be a bang, you know, have a setup episode and a banger episode, setup banger and get through the season like that. Like you can't have.
And I don't want to be pessimistic, but I mean, I don't think there's any way it's happening. Not the way that people don't finish shows. And I think they have put all their eggs in the basket with Lord of the Rings. And I don't feel like it's doing crazy successful either. I haven't watched it, but I don't hear people talking about it either. So.
Yeah, and they've set a bar that they can't go back down. Like again, if this was like a CBS show or a CW show that was on half the budget, they'd be like, "We're getting our money back, whatever. You know, it's fine. We'll do two more seasons and finish the story." But this is like, okay, we're gonna need $10 million to do season four. And it's like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like you've got to make it. It was like, you know, you just need. When that comes down to it, you need better writing, less effects, and better character development, and that's really hard to do in eight episodes.
Yeah, and especially when I think if they're going to move forward, there's going to have to be a lot of battles because they're. I think that's exciting TV. I don't think you can turn this into a fucking full on drama all the time.
Yeah, don't make it a fantasy. You know.
Yeah,
daytime television soap opera. Jeremy's already said it is that basically. So
yeah, there's some drama
from the listeners and the readers. But I mean, that's pretty much it for that chapter. There's just like I said, they're kind of doing their thing. The girls are deciding what they're gonna do. You know, they're basically talking about splitting up because Egwene's like, hey, you know, I never knew we weren't. Never said we're going to be together the whole time. And so Nynaeve and Elaine are going off together, which they've already done in the show, even though they're going to Egwene. Maybe that's just some setup for Nynaeve and Elaine going off on their own or again to start season three. and Egwene, you know, taking off towards, you know, because we don't know what kind of a time jump we're going to get. They didn't really tell us how everybody ended up, where they ended up last season. They just were there. And,
yeah,
you know, not a lot of background. So I don't expect to get more, unfortunately, which sucks.
But. Yeah, I mean, we could have the first three episodes be just about them bickering about splitting up,
basically.
Because you said, like,
half an episode.
Yeah, well, yeah, God, I wish. and they, like, this is something I'm still having a hard time, you know, this is such an epic story that, like, you and Jeremy have been saying the whole time, like, there's going to be books and books and books where our heroes are separated. And,
yeah.
And that's going to make, again, that's going to be tough because now you're dealing with even more sets, more effects, more characters. You know, maybe they just figure out a way.
Even if you had characters that are in the same spots that were doing different point of views, kind of like Game of Thrones would do, they did it really well. They did a really good job of, if you've never read those books, for anyone who's listening, they do a lot of point of view chapters and they jump around a lot. And then there are whole books where, you know, certain characters are very rarely mentioned. They managed to do that in the TV show really, really well by combining arcs and making things make sense. They have not done that so well in Wheel of Time, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Game of Thrones set up early on that, like, you might not see this character for two episodes, and that's okay. And,
yeah.
And Wheel of Time hasn't done, and I don't think Wheel of Time could, like, our heroes have to be touched on every episode, I feel like, you know.
Least Rand, Matt, and Perrin should, you know, when it comes to TV show, unfortunately, that's the story of the books, even though it is, like, they're trying to make it more equal sex is driven. I mean, that's the story. It's those three that drive the story forward, while their supporting cast of everyone else, male and female, are big parts of it. It's the Tavirin and the weaving of the age lace and the pattern that these guys affect the most. That's why they're the three main characters.
Yeah.
And I get the TV shows, you know, you have to hit certain demographics and all that stuff, but I think there's a way to do that and still manage to pull all that stuff off, because there's been plenty of shows that have done it, right? So
yeah, and you knew when you started writing this that it's about a man who's the dragon. So
right, and it's a very unfortunately deal with it. The political aspect of the show would have went over a lot better in the 80s, 90s, even early 2000s. But the way that our society is now, there are certain aspects where people are just, they're so against the kind of, you know, wokeness, quote unquote, that you want to, whatever you want to call that, whatever that is to you. There are certain people who hate it so much. And there's other people who are just like, look, I get it, but can we stay on the story? And there's other people that are just coming all over themselves just because it's so woke. And it's like, that's great, but you still got to nail the story aspects as far as I'm concerned. And that's not a knock on anyone. It's just, it's not the story if you don't nail it that way. So,
yeah,
which is fine. I get it. Like I said, you know, I want to see it, but it's not exactly the turning of the wheel that I know and love, but I'm still want to see it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So then we jump. So we go to chapter 13, Rumors. And this one really confused me, because this is like, they're picking up from like chapter 8. I feel like they're picking up from like chapter 8 or 9. So I'm
kind
like,
of,
wait,
because
what is he doing?
Yeah, they're still. So they go through the doorway, and then when they come out, that's why we're getting fucked up, because when they go through the doorway, it's after the battle of the stone, like when all the Trollocs come in and stuff. So this is Matt and Perrin kind of rehashing the bubbles of evil and the attack on the stone with all the Trollocs. And Matt, one of the things Matt's thinking about is, and that's my clip, he's flashing back into the battle, and he's like, he's fighting, he kills a gray man, I think, and then turns around and there's a fade right there. And then some Trollocs come out and attack the fade. So some crazy shit goes down. So obviously that tells you that there's at least more than one faction of the Forsaken who's involved in that battle, because there's Trollocs attacking Trollocs and fighting. There's Shadowspawn fighting Shadowspawn. And that wouldn't be happening unless somebody was trying to, you know, throw a monkey wrench in another Forsaken's plans or something of that nature.
The bad guys all want to rule.
Yeah.
So again, I've read the books, people. I'm sorry. Do people want Rand dead?
Some people,
they
just, yeah,
they do. Okay. And would that,
yeah, I mean, it's
would,
like,
that
re, you know,
would that mean that maybe the next dragon reborn would be on their, they're hoping that maybe the next turning, the dragon will be their friend instead, or do they just not?
No, well, it depends on who we're talking about. When we're talking about the bad guys, not all of them even want him dead. What they want more than anything is to turn him to the shadow. Barring that, they'd rather have him dead. But a lot of them want him dead because they don't want to share power, right? There's a lot of, you know, common people, and those are the types of people that are just kind of like, one person will fix the United States completely. And it's like, no, they won't. It's just, don't be stupid. Like, it takes wholesale change to fix something like that. And these are the people that are like, well, if you just kill the dragon, then the last battle won't happen. It's like, no, the last battle will still happen, and you won't have the fucking dragon. So you're fucked. Good job. You know, like in a video game, when you go too far and you're supposed to get an item and you can't go back and get it, you're fucked. You gotta start over. That's it.
I've been explaining that to my son playing video games, because, you know, the first, in any game, you get a sword and you can just bash your way through 8 levels. And then all of a sudden in the 9th level, like, oh, I haven't learned how to use my spells, or I haven't learned how to block, or I haven't learned how to, you know, and then he gets frustrated and quits because he thinks the game is pulling a fast one on him. It's like, no,
the shit's rigged. No.
Yeah. If I hear him say OP one more time, I've taken away all of his video games.
OP?
Overpowered. You know.
Shut up.
You're at a part
of the game that you're not supposed to be at yet.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's a good game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm having a lot of fun with the Harry Potter game. The way that game is set up is great. I mean, the first like 5 to 7 hours is a lot of like just running around Hogwarts, learning how to interact with shit, which is fun. And then right about the time you're like, okay, you jump forward really fast, and then you start getting Alohomora and you can unlock stuff, and you get a broom, which is cool. No Quidditch, but you can fucking fly around on your broom, which is dope. And then I think I just unlocked, like, you can get beasts. Like, I can get a hippogriff and fly around, I think, too. So pretty cool.
It must be awesome. The progression is good.
The progression is smart. It makes tons of sense.
Yeah, I haven't played a Harry Potter game in like 10 or 15 years. But even then, like, I had so much fun. Just like, I felt like they built Hogwarts brick by brick. Like, it was...
This one especially, it is a fucking... it is, like, perfectly recreated. Hogwarts, Hogsmeade, it's crazy awesome. The Forbidden Forest, like, everything is, like, I'm not a huge Potterhead, but, like, I'm enough of one to go, like, this is legit, dude.
Yeah, that's
for sure. So let's play the clip. We'll talk about the rest of that chapter. It's a short one. It's like a minute and a half.
Okay.
Something like that. So, I'm going to start it and then tell me if you can hear it good. And then, I'm going to go pull myself a whiskey.
Holes in his memory, making no real sense.
Good.
The din of fighting somewhere in the distance echoed down the corridor, dulled by the wall hangings. He retrieved his knife from the gray man's corpse with a shaking hand. A gray man, and hunting him. It had to have been after him. Gray men did not wander about killing at random. They had targets as surely as an arrow. He turned to run, and there was a Murdral striding toward him, like a black snake on legs, its pasty-faced, eyeless stare sending shivers into his bones. At 30 paces, he hurled the knife straight at where an eye should have been. At that distance, he could hit a knothole no larger than an eye, 4 times in 5. The Fade's black sword blurred as it knocked the dagger away, almost casually. It did not even break stride. Time to die, Horn Sounder. Its voice was a red adder's dry hiss, warning of death. Matt backed away. He had a knife in either hand now, though he did not remember drawing them. Not that knives would be much good against a sword, but running meant that black blade in his back as sure as 5 sixes beat 4 threes. He wished he had a good quarterstaff, or a bow. He would like to see this thing try to deflect a shaft from a Two Rivers longbow. He wished he were somewhere else. He was going to die here. Suddenly, a dozen Trollocs roared out of a side hallway, piling onto the Fade in a frenzy of chopping axes and stabbing swords. Matt stared in amazed disbelief.
So that's just a little snippet of his battle in the Stone of Tyr. And, you know, could you imagine, like, the mind fuck? You're like, oh my God, I just killed a Gray Man. Oh my God, there's a Fade. Oh my God, the Trollocs are attacking them. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, so that's why he's in the bar trying to relax.
He's like,
a little
just
bit.
Drink, just in his cups, like, Jesus. You know when you're that stressed out and you can drink like a bottle of whiskey and you're just like, don't even feel it. And then that adrenaline falls away and you're like, woo! I am really trash right now. I'm going to go lay down and hope the room doesn't spin too much.
That always bothers me in action movies when in the second act they get really drunk to kind of calm down, and then they go immediately into the third act and are just fine. I'm like, no. You guys just split a bottle of whiskey. Like,
yeah, you're not fucking Deadpool and Wolverine. You can't just walk this off.
Yeah,
you know, totally. you're gonna be fucked up for at least a couple hours. I don't care who you are.
So in this
vampires
chapter,
don't get drunk, right?
I think, yeah, I don't think they do. So Perrin is going back to the Two Rivers to protect his family, but I'm betting that they follow him there. They're probably not going to go fuck with his family just cause he probably leads them there.
No, they're there already, and they're not really causing issues yet. They're starting to poke around. They're really looking for Rand. Like I said, if we kill Rand or capture Rand, it's like everybody wants to either capture, kill, or use Rand, including the Aes Sedai. Even if their intentions are maybe more noble, some of them aren't. Some of them are, you know, like any group of people, you know, you have differences of opinions. And the White Cloaks are definitely already there. They're already poking around. They're looking for Matt. They're looking for Rand, but they're really looking for Perrin because he's killed White Cloaks and they know that's where he's from. And I know that's what's going to come. That is definitely going to happen this season because in the books, if you remember, it's rumored that Perrin kills Dane Bornhold's dad, but he does not kill him. In the show, right after Jefferon Bornhold kills Hopper, Perrin fucking berserker hulks out and just murders him. So Dane has a hard-on for him, and so that's why he's going to the Two Rivers. He wants to look for Perrin. He wants to get his family. He wants to make Perrin come home, which he does. And that's some really good shit. And if that's one of the things that if they could nail in the third season, it could get them a fourth and fifth season, and it would really bring me back because I can always say, like, I love Matt. I love Matt. Matt is who I want to be. You know, if I was just the douchebag that I wanted to be and I was single, if I never met my wife, I'm that dude. Let's go. I don't need to shower for a couple of days. I got a warm coat.
Hell yeah.
Just pull it. What's going on? But I'm Perrin 100%. You know, I have my wife. I have my dogs. I have my people. Like, I'm fiercely loyal. I will fight you. And so the stuff with Perrin and the Two Rivers, what he goes through and the way he handles, like, you know, you get in like a show like Walking Dead or something and you're like fucking how the Duke boys gonna get themselves out of this bucket of syrup.
Yeah.
It's like that, you know, and it's like, but the way Perrin does stuff and like, you know, eventually they're like, well, we'll leave. And, you know, you turn yourself into us. And Perrin just goes, and they're like, that's my wife. Or he goes, that's my wolves. Those are my family. And he got, you know, mad about it. And he was just like, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, it goes into, there's so much more to it than that. But, you know, it's so gangster. Like, he's parlaying and he's like, yeah, I know we talked about me turning myself in, but yeah, it's just not going to work for me. I have people to take care of. So you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just kind of like, well, you know, make me.
Yeah. Especially when I
can you kick my ass? And they're like, no.
Well, it is
outside of a channeler. Perrin is the most powerful person in these books times 10 outside of channelers. And even then he can go into the world of dreams and stand up to almost any channeler. He's so strong.
And is Perrin as in the Tavirinness yet? Like Matt's kind of like, okay, I got luck on my side. Is Perrin there yet?
Perrin, again, he even says it in this chapter. He's like, I think we have different paths, Matt, but I all know that we have to do what we're supposed to do so that we can support Rand.
But like, I bet his Tavirinness really hits him hard when he goes home and just.
Yeah. It, you know what? Die. You're right. Because it's like not even that he can't die. It's like people that he grew up getting his fucking bottom switched by are like, Lord Perrin, what do we do? And he's like, I don't fucking know how to deal with this. He's like, you used to fucking, you know, ground me for stealing honey cakes, you know, and like releasing a badger and you're in with Matt, you know, like how am I supposed to tell you what to do?
Yeah.
And they're like, you have to, you're a fucking Lord Golden Eyes, you know, that's who you are to us. So, when Perrin goes home, it's some really good stuff. So if they nail it on the TV show, it's going to be amazing. And it will really, you know, that's one of the things like I had hoped Jeremy could stay with it at least the third season, because I know if done well, that would be something that I think that would really hit home with him, because, you know, he's like that too. Obviously you can tell, you know him enough. He's obviously a family based dude, right? Like he's, that's my cuz. So, I think it's one of those things that could bring a lot of people who are haters back if they really nail it. And if they stick to the Shadow Rising as close as possible and do it well, I don't know why, like, that would make me reconsider, like, oh man, they may get a fourth season. They you know, it, if it's good, you know.
And especially if they somehow manage to do that, and also some of these storylines that they've added somehow make them make sense in the Shadow Rising as you know it, and then be like, oh, they were building towards something that isn't what I read, but it's kind of cool. Like, I'm in.
That's the thing. If it was some kind of a payoff, I'm in on it. But like, I think that is one of the biggest complaints people like Jeremy and other people who have read the books and don't like the show. It's just like, why are we creating characters to do anything? Yeah. If you really need a character to alter a storyline, just make a existing character fit that storyline. People will be much less upset about that if you had to make a certain character gay, or a certain character in a different place at a certain time, or a certain character maybe a female instead of a male. Those things matter less if the storyline is nailed.
Yeah.
Then if you create, you know, creating something wholly different is unnecessary. I realize in certain places it absolutely is necessary. But when you have so much source material to drive through, pick a fucking random person from Faldara that's mentioned three times in the books. I don't care. The nerds like me will get it. And then you can fucking murder them. And
yeah.
It'll still mean more than someone you spent three episodes talking about and having, you know, like the episode where Matt and Rand are in the inn in the first season, and then the gal comes at him. Like, that is something that is kind of in the books, but they made her character someone completely different, and it just doesn't land the same. And you don't need to do that. And you don't need to spend an episode and a half getting to know her. You just don't. You know, creepy innkeeper tries to kill you. Okay, move the fuck on. Rand channeled. You'll come back to it later. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. Take a character that they mentioned once or twice and just bring them up.
There's plenty.
Yeah. We don't know anything about their sexuality from the book. Do whatever you want.
So many characters you know nothing about from the book, other than like there's one of my favorite characters is a dude named Talmanis. He's so gangster. He's as gangster as Matt. And I feel like he gives off daddy vibes like a motherfucker. And he's just like, you know, he's just kind of like that dude who's like kind of solitary, which, you know, is like, yeah, you do coke twice a month and go fucking find a power bottom, don't you? You nasty motherfucker. Get out of here. Go fight a fade. Go kill a Trolloc, you dirty bird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could just tell he gives off vibes, and it's funny. I mean, it's like, but he's such a great character, and he's a badass fighter. And like, he's like Matt's best friend, and he's fucking awesome. I want a cat so I can name it Talmanis.
Yes.
Because cats don't give no shits. And neither does Talmanis.
Yeah.
And like, weird. I said, though, the rumors are just basically either meant to try to drive them home, but basically the rumors are trying to get Rand to go home, right? Yeah. And it's the White Cloaks, but it's also a lot of machinations of Dark Friends, Forsaken, who are influencing the White Cloaks and other people to try to, like, you know, if someone was attacking your home village, you know, wouldn't you go back to save him if you were the dragon? And Rand's like, I can't. I just can't. Perrin, you can. Matt, you can. But I can't. And Perrin's like, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
So
Rand's like, I'm trying to save the whole universe. If
I have
and he's loved ones, then.
And it's funny that he's already kind of accepted that duty and really just been like, look, man, you know, because even the best people will be like, I have to save my family, I have to save my friends, my dad. You know, Rand's just like, you can't. It's so much bigger than that now. And for someone who's as young as him to get that, I think is telling, whoa, what's going on?
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Duty is heavier than a mountain, Sheepherd. With great power comes great responsibility.
Well, and they kind of like, going back to the Two Rivers, assuming they didn't actually blow up the Two Rivers in the battle from the first season. Like,
I mean, they kind of did. When Perrin goes back, he's like, whoa.
That sets built. Go nuts. Like, save some money. Have a couple of Two Rivers episodes. You don't have to build anything.
That's where you're wrong. Because it's been so destroyed in the Battle of Winter Night, and they start to rebuild it back. And then the Trollocs come again around the time Perrin gets back. Either right before Perrin gets back or right after Perrin gets back. And then the White Cloaks are all like, see, you brought the Trollocs. Blah, 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 blah. It's fucking stupid. Anyways.
The show hasn't mentioned those battles at all. The Two Rivers is fine.
Well, no. Winter Night. No,
did they mention that?
Winter Night's the first episode.
Oh, right, right. But so, still, like, they blew up a building. They blew up the town hall.
They lit a bunch of houses on fire. They're like, the village is half destroyed. They build it back, and then around the time Perrin shows up, they start fucking destroying it again.
Okay.
But when that's happening, there's starting to be war happening all around the world, and refugees start coming there. So all of a sudden, the Two Rivers gets pretty cosmopolitan. They start getting tile roofs, and they start having people, you know, coming from cities and bringing ideas and bringing new, you know, ways of spinning silk and farming and all that kind of shit. And then the next thing you know, it's almost this little city state, and it becomes a problem later as well.
Do the Shan Chan eventually try to get their hold on the Two Rivers, or is it too far out?
They never get that far, but they would. And it really becomes down to the White Cloaks versus Perrin, and Perrin ends up running the fuck out of town.
Yeah.
After he makes some help. So right at the end of this, Des, Berlin, after striking out with Rand, she goes to try to get up on Perrin's hairy nuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, just like, he couldn't be less interested in her. He's just like, ugh, fucking slut. Like, he's like, she's so forward, and it's like so against the Two Rivers kind of customs. He's just like, look. Plus, he loves Fael already, and he's like, what? He's like, I'm just, ugh.
Yeah, I'm good.
But she's like, I always get what I want or whatever. And then Fael walks in, and it's just like, oh, shit, buddy. I actually do have a couple other little clips. It's like just a couple, like, 30-second clips of after. So, you know, chapter 14 is where this comes up. And, you know, Berlin goes looking for the slump buster after she strikes out with Rand. She's like, well, I guess I'll take the second prize. But Fael shows up in the middle of it. And then, you know, Berlin leaves after putting on a show. And, you know, Perrin does the classic, like, he wants her to leave him because he wants to protect her. You know, the fucking oldest trope, you know, it's Arya throwing rocks at her wolf so it'll run away and doesn't get killed, you know. It's, you know, she's a human, you could just tell her, and she's still not going to listen, but at least you could just use the words. You don't have to throw a rock at your dog.
It's the Hendersons yelling at Harry to get out of town.
100%, you know what? Fael is Bigfoot, and Perrin is John Lithgow.
There you go. Thank Perfect. You. I couldn't remember John Lucas.
Perfect analogy, sir. And Berlin is the family Saint Bernard. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, but you know, she's playing games, and you know, she's doing like jealous woman shit, and Fael's pissed off, and you know, he says some shit, and Fael's like, fine, I'll leave, whatever. And but instead of like just leaving, she slams the door and walks out, but then immediately goes after Berlin.
Yeah.
And like rolls up on her like just fucking hood rat style, like, what do you think you're doing? And I was like, oh shit, it's on.
That's my man.
So yeah, that is the custom. Oops, the customs of Maine. And I just got a couple little clips that I'm gonna.
Oh yeah, I forget we actually the point of view of Fael.
Yeah, she keeps coming. She starts coming.
Yeah.
Imagination swaying along as if that walk of hers was not deliberately calculated to make male eyes pop. Before Fael knew what she was doing, she had darted ahead of Berylane and turned to face her where two corridors met.
Chef's kiss.
Perrin Abara belongs to me, she snapped. You keep your hands and your smiles away from him. She flushed to her hairline when she heard what she had said. She had promised herself she would never do this. Never fight over a man like a farm girl rolling in the dirt at harvest.
It's my wife.
Berylane arched a cool eyebrow. Belongs to you. Strange. I saw no collar on him. You serving girls. Or are you a farmer's
daughter? Serving girls. Because Fael is royalty.
Peculiar ideas.
She's just pretending not to.
Serving girl? Serving girl? I am. Fael bit her tongue to stop the furious words. The first of Mayen, indeed. There were estates in some.
Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead a little bit because there's some more genius stuff that we got to get to. But first of all, Mark, I'll say this too loud, so I don't want to come get me, but that's my wife, because she always talks about, she's like, I've never been fucking jealous over anyone in my life. And she's like, I believe it though. I believe it. She's like, I've never been a jealous person. She's like, I get so crazy jealous over you. I'm gonna fucking cut people. She's like, I don't like it when you talk to other women. She goes, I know it's insane. She's like, but I get crazy jealous over you. And I was like, okay. And I'm just not, I've never been really a jealous person. I'm just not who I am, but.
Well, your parents, you know, you're good with the ladies.
Yeah. Wish Rand. I fucking wish Rand was here, man. He'd let me know what's up. Okay. Next
you,
one is.
And then there's me here to remind you what a prick you are.
Yeah. Dragon Reborn. And this is just a little bit further in that interaction.
I swore I would never even hold a fan again. But there were other Saldaean customs. She was surprised to see the knife in her hand. She had been taught not to draw
literally
a knife,
pull the knife
unless
on
she meant to use it. Farm girls in Saldaea have a way of dealing with women who poach others' men. If you do not swear to forget, Perine Barra, I will shave your head.
I'll shave your head.
Perhaps the boys who tend the chickens will pant after you then.
That's such a good insult.
I'm not sure exactly how Berylaine
grew. I'm going to shave your head, and the boys who tend the chickens will get hard
over you. Crashing into her back.
I'll take a chicken tender.
Berylaine stood smiling, tapping the blade of Fael's knife on her palm, a custom of Mayen. The Tyrans do like to use assassins, and the guards cannot always be close at hand. I despise being attacked, farm girl, so this is what I will do.
I despise being attacked, farm girl. This is what I will do. Man. And then she just proceeds to, like,
I will take
go
the
hard.
Blacksmith away from you and keep him as a pet for as long as he amuses me. Ogier's oath on it, farm girl.
Ogier's oath on it.
Woo!
But then right after that, so Ruark is an Aielman. He comes upon them, like, literally they're about to start fighting, and Ruark just snaps one of her other one's wrist and, like, puts the other one's hand on her chest, and he's like, fuck are you doing? And he makes Berylaine go tell on herself and, like, go to bed, and then he takes Fael's knife. He's just like, this is your punishment. Like, he's their dad. It's just like, you Jesus. Go to bed without supper, and I'm taking your precious knives.
We'll talk about this in the morning.
Yeah, and I'm telling your mother. Don't think that I'm not telling your mother.
So
it's just, that's just classic, and that's pretty much that whole chapter is just, you know, Fael losing her shit and going to fucking knife fight Berylaine. Both heads of state. Well, technically Fael's like second or third in line for the throne, but she's definitely like royalty. And then Berylaine's like a head of state. She's like a queen, basically.
And which one? It's I'm reading on Ruark. Was Ruark mentioned?
He's we got a couple seconds. We got a few minutes. I could play that part too. But he just kind of like basically just shames them both and is like, you gotta knock it the fuck off. He's like, enough people not get killed tonight by the Trollocs? You gotta fight.
Yeah, where
dumbasses.
Where are? Because I thought they were. Like
they're still in the Stone of Tyr.
But aren't they in like someone's room or something? Or are they in the inn?
They're in Perrin's room. It starts in Perrin's room. Berylaine comes into Perrin's room as he's like packing to go to the Two Rivers.
So what does Ruark do? Is Ruark just there too?
He catches Berylaine and fucking Fael in the hall fighting. Because like Berylaine takes off to go back to her chamber. And like that's the part where Fael comes running and like runs in front of her like, bitch.
Ruark
pulls out some knives. But then, I don't know if you caught it, she pulls out a knife. And I think she tries to stab Berylaine or at least slash her. And Berylaine is like, knows like Aikido or Judo or whatever, grabs her wrist and fucking throws her.
Oh my God.
You know, and she's like, yeah, we learned how to deal with this in Miami because they use assassins a lot. So
you kind of mentioned this, but I'm just going to read it all. He twists Fael's arm when she attempts to punch him and firmly orders Berylaine.
Oh yeah, right. She totally tries to punch him.
To return to her room and stay there. With no breakfast in the morning, he sends Berylaine running with a threat to repeat their first talk together. Ruark keeps Fael's two knives as her punishment and warns her of harsher penalties if she or Berylaine do not keep the peace.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, God.
Classic. And I think like the first time with Berylaine and Ruark, and I don't remember, I think it was when she went to Rand's rooms. I think.
Okay.
Like afterwards, and like he find out that she kind of tried to sneak in there, and he like, I don't know if he like spanks her like she's a little girl or like, you know, he like totally like puts her in her place like she's a child again. And she was just like, I don't want to do that again.
So we've had this conversation on the last five episodes we've recorded, and I don't care. What, they are all in the Stone of Tyr right now?
Yes.
Everyone is. Okay.
Imagine, yeah, like, you know, you've got, fuck, you know, like a small town inside of this fortress, you know, again, the fortress of Bellevue, and then the city of Seattle around it. Like, that's, you know, it's, yeah, that big. Oh, and, you know, okay, it's got dungeons and it's got penthouses and everything in between. So,
because I just picture everything being like, I just picture a million,
like Rand's style. Village, that inn in Rand's Village. Everybody's just like within like 1200 square feet.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Yeah.
No, it's fucking huge. So,
okay.
And like, I mean, yeah, there's, you know, thousands upon thousands of people in here. So that's definitely, you know, for sure.
So I know we'll get to this in the next couple of chapters, but do Jiz, Loial, and Perrin go through the ways, or do they get a posse together?
So that's kind of how this chapter kind of ends, is, and I think it maybe even actually comes up again. It kind of starts talking about he's getting ready to go ask Loial, hey man, like, can you take me through the ways? And because Vael is who she is, she's already like sussed out the rumors about Perrin and has kind of figured out he's probably going to try to go to the Two Rivers. And she's like, I'm not going to let him ditch me, because Perrin's trying to ditch her. And she's like, I'm not going to let him ditch me. And so she's smart. And she's like, he's going to get there as fast as he can. I know he's traveled the ways before. She might have traveled the ways with them. I can't remember. I think not, but she knows that they have. And so she makes Loial, before Perrin can ask, promise to show her the ways before she would show anyone else, before he would show anyone else, or to take her into them before, you know, would ever do it for anybody else, basically.
Okay.
And like, so she's like, well, Loial, you know, you promised, and ogres never break their promises, you know? So he ends up leading her and Bane and Shaiad, and then Gaul and Perrin follow them through the ways. So
Gaul is some too.
It's a more, you know, female bullshit politics. So,
yeah. And especially with the, like, with the politics of where they come from, of what is norm, and yeah, using and kind of, and like using their politics against them, like Loial's, like,
yeah. And like the chivalry and like Loial not breaking a promise, all that shit. She literally is being manipulative, to Perrin and Loial to try to get her way, because she's like, oh, she's not going to leave me behind. Cause she knew that him and Loial would just ditch out in the night by themselves. And while she's like, I'm not trying to have you leave me, she's also trying to be like, I know what you're trying to do, and you can't do this with just you and an old gear friend. Like, you need, yeah, you need allies. And I know how to get allies, because everybody loves her.
One, you're just going in the ways, period. Who cares where you're going? If you're going, yeah, there through
drink
the
numbers, I suppose.
Yeah. You're going to want some friends on your side. So I'm going to amend my original statement. Women don't be shopping. Women be stabbing.
Apparently. Fael be stabbing. Borderland women be stabbing. They don't be shopping.
Hell yeah.
Here, we learn how to fight Trollocs by the time we're five. So I think that's probably
all I think I got. This ended up being a really good back on track chapter. We talked to most of the people. We didn't talk to Rand in this, but we know where he is. And so I think maybe we do 14, and I know we've already done 15, but I think just in the, or 15 and 16, I think just in trying to do things in order and keep me from getting too lost, I think maybe.
Well, we already did a whole, like, 15 is something that deserves its own episode, and we already did it.
So should we do 15, 16, and, or 15, 16, and, well, 17's an hour, though. I don't know if I want
to. I would do 16 and 17, I think, probably.
Okay.
That's what
I'll listen to 15, but we'll focus on 16 and 17 next time, but I'll make sure that I.
You definitely need to listen to 15, or even at least listen to the episode that says chapter 11, because we cover all that for the most part. And like I said, 16 and 17 are the ones that, 17 is kind of long, but, you know.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll listen to it on 1.5. So I watched What Up today, the most recent one, and they're looking at earlier next year instead of
really
next fall.
They're looking at
like March or April, and he's got, you know, some inside. He's usually got
really. See, I didn't see that. I saw the thumbnail and was like, oh, maybe earlier than we thought. But I was like, oh, was it going to be August 30th?
Yeah.
Well, and it's not, you know what, like, okay, I hate to be an apologist all the time, but there was a lot of things that happened that, you know, you're not seeing tons of blockbuster movies right now. You're not seeing, you're seeing small studio stuff because the SAG-AFTRA strike is still going on. Is it not?
I don't think so.
I thought it was still going on.
I think they're still negotiating. I don't think there's,
they're still negotiating. I think there's a, but you know, they're still not like full throatedly, you know, doing promotions and stuff. And while it's better this year, you know, the first two seasons of Wheel of Time really got hindered by no promotion. And, you know, you couldn't talk about it. And, you know, whether that's just a stumble by Amazon or because of the strikes and whatnot, you know, I don't know. But maybe they'll be able to build a little hype this year. You know, like I said, I still am all in. I want to see it. I hope it's great. I hope it's great enough to get a fourth season, a fifth season and beyond, because I do want to see the story play out. But
yeah,
I don't have a lot of hope for it.
I would like to blame Amazon. Well, I am going to blame Amazon, but I'd like, it'd be easier for me if I could just blame them for not hyping Wheel of Time. They don't fucking hype anything. Like, you don't,
they
know.
No, they hype. No, that's not true. They hype Thursday Night Football.
You're right. You're right.
Just saying. Just saying.
But they didn't start hyping it until that week. Like, I still wasn't sure in late August if I was still going to be able to watch Thursday Night Football on Amazon. Like, I don't know why they're so, like, they don't want to talk about anything that's coming up. They want everyone focused on what is and watch what
is. What's happening tomorrow?
Yeah. Like, I don't want you guys to wait and watch Wheel of Time because I need you to watch this show right fucking now. So,
yeah. And that's part of what, you know, a good TV show, it's like, while it sucks waiting, you know, part of the fun, if you're fucking super nerdy like us, is to discuss it while you're waiting and what might happen. And it's nice to be right at least one time out of a fucking thousand, you know, something other than like, oh, this person was in this episode. It's like, fuck, man. Can't think of shit I've been more wrong about in my life.
Yeah, you'd think with 15 books, you'd think you'd be able to find a couple things that you might see. And also, yeah, and this is something I've been complaining about, and I was happy to see other people bitching about it. I was just going around on Reddit, like, where's the swag? Like, how are you not?
There's none. The only swag you get is from people like us who make it. There's like no official anything. I don't know if there's like any official, like, the ring show? What is it?
Power of the Ring, Ring Power.
Rings of Power. I'm like, yeah. I don't know, Lord of the Rings TV. I don't know, whatever it's called. I don't care. I don't really like that shit anyway that much. I've never been a huge Hobbit guy. I mean, I like it, but I'm not like just over the top of it.
Yeah.
I like Game of Thrones a lot better.
They're out of books, so they got to make it up already. Like, you've got 15 books to just go from. Like, you don't have to make up anything.
I really, that's, you know, talking to people, that is the biggest frustration. It's just like, you have so much to pull from. Like, you have a show like The Last of Us that didn't have to add a lot of stuff and has so much fan service that it's perfect, you know?
I take it back. The one thing that Amazon has, I was fumbling around changing my Amazon Prime icon, and they have woat icon. So my Amazon Prime icon now is Matt.
Nice.
I see his dirty face every time I log on. But which, like, Matt? Yeah, if you put the new Matt.
Donald Finn.
If you put a link at the bottom of the show that says click this for a t-shirt, I'd do it. And then that $15 goes into your budget.
We've talked about this before. I'm like, dude, like, it's almost like you could have a built-in marketing system for all keychains and cups and shirts.
Does Amazon, do they sell stuff online ever?
I heard they do. I think you get it delivered. Sometimes free. I've heard of something called Prime Day. I don't know.
Ooh, you know what I got on Prime Day? I got a slow cooker, baby.
Nice.
I got a crock pot for $45.
Crock box of money, man. I'm eating pot roast.
Eating pork all day. All right.
Can't wait to get my shit set up.
We're gonna keep it simple, folks. We're gonna be here we're gonna be here every week. Fatty and I think we found a good time. Tuesday at 8 works well. It should continue to work well in the future. Next week, we're going to talk about The Shadow Rising, Chapter 16 and 17. And anything else you want to talk about, if you want to come on here and totally derail us because you want to talk about A New Spring, do it. We'll take your input.
Playing Hogwarts Legacy? Give me some tips.
Totally.
Sure. Sounds great.
We can play Have I Ever with Fatty. That's always fun.
No.
Betty never drinks when we play Have I Ever.
Never.
Never. All right, Betty, it is so great to see you. I love seeing you. I will and I'm going to Cormick's next tournament is in Sacramento. So in 2 weeks,
nice.
I'm spending the weekend in Sacramento. For
go throw some rocks at my parents.
I will definitely do that. I will definitely throw some rocks at my parents. And put your dagger in the horn box, everybody.
May you always find water and shade. Peace out, guys.
Love you, Betty.
Love you, buddy.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.